Blog Talk Radio. From Insanity to Sane Radio, featuring Ms. Barbara Archer, thank you for tuning in to another anointing broadcast where you will be inspired and God be exalted throughout the earth. We come live every Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please send all inquiries at frominsanitytosane.com. The next voice you hear will be Ms. Barbara Archer.
Good evening. Thank you very much for tuning in to another broadcast of Real Woman, Real Talk. I'm excited to be here this evening. And most importantly, I'm excited that you have decided to join us this evening as well. Thank you so much to all the listeners and followers and supporters and affiliates that have supported this broadcast. I do appreciate your prayers, your inspiration that you give to me each and every week. And I just want you to know that we appreciate you here and we love you. So this evening I have two ladies that's in the studio. They have been on the platform before. I received a lot of feedback that people wanted more of it, so I have them back in the studio again this evening. But before we get started, as always, I start everything off with prayer because that is the rock and the foundation of this ministry here. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to see another day. We are so blessed. When we look around the world, there's so much pain and sorrow in the world. But, God, it doesn't matter what's happening around and about us, but we have faith and hope and trust in you that you always take care of us, even when situations come our way and we don't understand, but you are always in control because you're still on the throne. And we just thank you and we just praise you that we have that intimacy relationship with you, that we can seek you. But I pray for those, Lord, that may not know you, that may not have that connection and that intimacy and that fellowship with you. And we just pray, Father, that you touch their hearts, that they will just yield everything to you, that they will give their heart to you. And we pray your blessing upon this broadcast this evening, Father, that you would be exalted, that people will get the truth and understanding. And we just pray your special blessing over our guests this evening, that you will just bless them and continue to just show them divine favor. Let everything that they touch be blessed. And we just give you all the glory, we give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This evening, thank you. I have in the studio with me Constance Gibson and also have Dr. Hazel Mahone. We discussed the heritage of African-American women when they were on the show the last time about their book, which is called A Legacy, A Guide for Young Black Women Planning Their Futures, and that's so important. So I just want you to help me welcome this evening the guests to the platform. Thank you so much for joining me. It is an honor to have y'all in the studio with me again, and I'm excited. I have tons of questions. In fact, I had questions that people had emailed me. So these are the questions that I'm going to be asking y'all this evening. So let's just get started. But once again, thank you very much.
All right.
Okay. Well, my first question is, one of my affiliates had sent me this email, you know, wanting to know. Now, we understand from the last time that we was in the studio that the reason behind the writing of the book. But her question was, when you were growing up yourself, what type of problems or what type of education was your education at that time? Because her concern was when she was growing up, she grew up in the 80s, and it wasn't a whole lot of talk in the schools about Black history or about African Americans and different things that what African Americans have done, you know, like being astronauts and doctors and so forth like that. So she wanted to know what type of education that you all had growing up, and did that inspire you to want to dig deeper because you felt that you were deprived when you were in school?
Well, I grew up in Terre Haute, Indiana, And a long time ago, I'm in my 80s now, and I had a third grade teacher who wrote one of the first books for children. It's called The Child Story of the Negro by Jane Shackelford. And we went through that book, and I think we never really felt that there wasn't anything we couldn't do. She inspired us, and we became very proud. And we had a strong faculty at Booker T. Washington School, which was K-8. And by the time we got integrated, we were shocked to find out we were a lot not smarter than some of the white kids that we went to school with. So the strong faculty at the black high school really made a difference with us. And so we didn't feel that we missed anything at that particular time.
Okay.
My education was probably similar to Connie's in a way, except I grew up in West Virginia, and my father was a coal miner. But all of my teachers were African American, and that was true from the time I started to school until I finished my BA. And so I always felt that I got my grounding. We did have black history, and we learned about Marian Anderson and Booker T. Washington and all of those great people. And I had a fourth grade teacher who told me that one day I would be standing where she was standing. And I looked like her. I almost felt as if I was her daughter. So as I began my education, not only could I not let my father down, I could not let Miss Edwards, my fourth grade teacher, down. And that's why I feel so strongly that we need role models for our children. They need to see black teachers. They need to see black female teachers. They need to see black male teachers. And I always felt a kinship to Miss Edwards. Now, my background was a little different because my mother died when I was 7 years old, and my father was left to rear us, and there were seven kids in the family. But my father was a very involved parent. We did not come in and eat McDonald's. We all sat down at the table together. You had to be at the dinner table. And that's where I learned most of my lessons. And so I learned literature listening to my father. Then when I got in school, I had some reference for that. So my upbringing was probably very similar to that of all kids who were coal miners' children. It was a very dangerous occupation for my parents, and what they did, the oldest kids ended up going in those coal mines too. So we were always fearful that they wouldn't come out alive. So I have listened to the sirens and all of that. But between Miss Edwards and my father and the other teachers who took an interest in us, I just felt so blessed. And a lot of whatever I do, my motivation goes all the way back there.
It's interesting that Hazel and I both had strong fathers. I live with my mother and father in Terre Haute, Indiana. My father worked for the post office. And we lived in the house that he owned right on the corner. And he was a very good earner. But he followed my education, just like my mother.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I do have one question, because one of my listeners had gotten a hold of your book. And one of the questions that they had is that there was a statement in there that you made regarding dark skin and long straight hair, and some have curly, short curly hair. Now, I'm just trying to help our listeners to understand, because so often in the African-American race, there is an identity crisis with African-Americans and how they look at themselves, especially children and young teens. You know, they seem not to value who they are. And you mentioned that you must never let people demean your ancestors, and you must treat all your sisters with respect. Now, with that being said, how does that affect our young generation today as we raise young black girls today, and some have different skin tones, different hair textures? How is that helping, or how can we help our young black people to embrace that? Because so often what we see on television is not sometimes that. And so many young black children, they think that they're not pretty because maybe they may be dark skin, or they may have curly hair, or they may have very coarse hair. Can either one of y'all, or even both of y'all, explain that to us so that we'd be able to educate our young blacks? Because I feel that if we have a hard time embracing our color, then how can we really embrace our heritage?
You want me to start, Connie, or you want to go first?
Hazel.
Okay. It is still real.
Mm-hmm.
It happened back when I was growing up, and it's still happening. I went to talk with a group of girls, I guess about 6.5 months ago, and we had that discussion. And so I asked the question, if in fact there is any kind of turmoil between lighter-skinned girls and darker-skinned girls, and they said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was somebody else doing it and saying it. But the thing that I asked them was how they felt that the people whose skin color they were talking about, the girls, how could they help their skin color? I said, you can change your hair. You can change your outfit if somebody's talking about your clothes or someone is talking about how your hair looks. You absolutely cannot change your skin color. So how is that girl supposed to make you happy if, in fact, you are making fun of her because she is darker or because she is lighter? Because it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to lighter-skinned people, they will tell you that they have also suffered at that. And that probably goes all the way back to slavery. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I think it's something that has been handed down, because it isn't just true in the outer community. It is also true in families. And I have seen mothers and fathers make a difference in their children because their skin color is different. And I can't think of anything that's more hurtful than something you absolutely cannot change. And not only did they talk about the skin color, they talked about thick lips, big lips, and all of those kinds of things. An example that I would give you: if they think that society really cares, the young black man that they shot in Ferguson is about the color of Connie and me.
Right.
Brown skin, light brown.
Right.
Guy
right.
that they shot in Wisconsin is light skin. So the bullets don't make a difference. And so I think that that is a discussion that we really, really need to have. And let the girls open up and tell you what they know and how they feel and how they can protect their classmates. So I think it's real. I think it's very, very real, and it's unfortunate.
Right. One of the best things to do is to have a group of girls. Legacies works best with a group, like 5 to 10 girls, and then you will really get it out. And they with this book that is designed to work with black with girls. Now you can do one on one, and that's good, but working with a group of girls is really the best way that you can really get at some of these things. One of the girls. One of my groups had girls that were mixed, and they couldn't understand, and they were having a lot of trouble. But the other girls in the group helped the girls who were mixed, and that was really a good thing for them. And they just turned around, and that made a difference to them. I am having a lot of success with grandmothers, white grandmothers, who need the book because they don't know how to help their granddaughters. And so that's a new thing that I hadn't anticipated. Okay.
Right. No.
And you see, one of the reasons that it's good is because we have an influx of multiracial kids. And so that population is really growing. And I picked up a book, and it's entitled Mixed. That's the name of it, Mixed, Portraits of Multiracial Kids. So if, in fact, you have children out there or grandchildren, and this is for your audience, as Connie mentioned, with the grandparents, and you need resources, she mentioned starting groups. That would be very good. Also, go to your bookstore and look at what they have, because that's where I picked this up. And Connie mentioned grandparents. I have another one that's called Grandpa is Everything Black Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a mixture of just different people with different features, different colors, all of that. But I think we need to do whatever we can because we're not going to leave the earth. We have to coexist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the
right.
more resources we have, the better it will be. Legacies is a good conversation starter. And starting groups and getting kids to open up is an excellent idea for your after-school programs, wherever you have teens and young people gathering.
Right. You know, I feel that's very important because there is a lot, and it's still going on today, and it amazes me that all these years we're still fighting that same issue with our young black kids, you know. And I was watching a show the other day, and they was talking about it, and it just made me think of this interview this evening, so I really wanted to bring this point up, is that so many kids, they look at themselves because they don't look like what they see on television. You know, and they try to mimic, you know, and a lot of kids, they're starting to do certain things to themselves to make them look a certain way, you know, and it's like, if you just embrace who you are, you know, I can't be you, you can't be me, but I can be the
right.
best barber that I can be, you know, and embrace who I am. If my hair is nappy, then it's nappy. If it's curly, it's curly. If it's straight, it's straight. It's like, really cares, because at the end of the day, does it really matter? You know,
right.
So how can we, now I understand about the programs after school and in-school programs and all that, but how can we get past it? Do you have any suggestions to young black listeners today? How can they get past that way of thinking and looking at themselves? You know, and a lot of it is the parents, because I've seen it and I've heard it firsthand. I know growing up myself, I experienced it, so I knew exactly how it is. I was treated different in my family because I was a light skin versus other sisters that was brown. So I
know
how it is.
This is hurtful, by the way.
It is, because it causes friction in the home because my sister and I, it's been 30-some years, we still can't connect because in her mind, I was always the better one, you know? You know, so it's like, why, where is this coming from? There is a poison that is there. You know, I mean, where did that poison, did it come from? Slavery, where did it come from? Because it had to be passed down from generation.
Yeah.
And that's what I think happened.
Well, I certainly would introduce them to the Willie Lynch letter. That explains a lot of it. And they can look the Willie Lynch letter up, and that does explain a lot of it. One of the things that our girls don't understand is that we came from Africa, but the slave ship didn't just come from the United States and then go back. The slave ships went all over the world. We have girls who are from Cape Verde, and they think that they are not black, you know, but
right.
They were black. They're black, and the kids in Bahamas, they're black, and most of them ended up in Brazil. And so what we're trying to do is to open their eyes to they have cousins all over the world. And I have noticed that kids know how to name all the countries in America, in Africa. Our girls don't know Africa, and they need to know what those countries are, and nobody is teaching them that. We try to bring them into the history, their history, but their history didn't start when they came to the United States, okay? So we have a lot of work to do. I am very interested in black people taking charge of their own kids. You asked about how are they going to learn this. Well, they're not going to learn it in school because the only time that they come to, are introduced is in world history, when like the 10th grade or something like that. Well, that doesn't tell them who they are. And so our people are going to have to step up to the plate. And they're going to have to be just like the Mormons, just like the Jewish people. They don't leave it to the schools to teach their kids who they are. If we want our kids to know who they are, you know, then we're going to have to do that. But we cannot leave that to the white power structure to teach them who they are.
Well, I think also if they look at legacies, and look at the contemporary women who are here. They can leaf through that, and they will find women of different colors. And when they read what their accomplishments are, they will know it had absolutely nothing to do with how light or how dark they were. They were just determined women who decided that I'm going to take my career and my life into my own hands. And I think that's a good way to use the book also as they're discussing this. Let's take a look at the women who are there. And what difference did it make in their lives? Do you think that they were dark or light?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if it made a significant difference, it would probably be in there.
Right, of course.
But I think they were too busy doing what they needed to do. And I think we have to be sure that we tell our parents, don't call their kids names.
Right.
Don't call them ugly, big lip, nappy head, because those are hurtful terms too.
Right. Yes, they are. Yes, they
I agree with that.
Yes. Yeah. Because it paralyzes our black children.
Oh, it does.
And they can't move past it, you know. And
that's
they're
right.
carrying it years later, and it's still being carried out, you know. And I would just like to see one day that we as a people, as a black people, that we will embrace one another, truly embrace one another, and I believe that your book is going to help us to get to that place that we need to get to so that we're no longer a slave. It's like you go from one master to another.
Right. Right.
So about your book, you know, in the last moments that we have, I just want you to tell us from our last conversation when you was here in the studio with me, how is the book doing? How is it being accepted, you feel, in the Black culture as well as the white culture?
Well, Connie can probably tell you more about the white culture because she mentioned the grandparents and that, you know, the interracial children and people not knowing what to do. We have
right.
found that the African-American community, those who have come in contact with it, are very, very much impressed.
Right.
And
right.
they believe that especially the workbook section, that those are things that they did, many of them didn't know how to discuss with their children. And what we also know is that a lot of them are parents who may not have the best relationship with their children, and they don't quite know how to approach certain subjects. So if they can look in there and let this become a conversation starter, that
okay.
will do a lot.
Okay.
So we have found, or I have found, wherever I have gone and people know about this book, they've been very impressed with it. The organization, the way it's put together, the artwork, the history, all just so much about Africa and what not only the children don't know, but what their parents and their grandparents don't know. So it's just a wonderful book, if I must say so.
Well, I want to say something about my son, who lives in New York City. He gets very upset at the way Black parents talk to the Black children. It's just so ugly. It really hurts him to hear how they talk to the children. So we've got to work on how we address our own children. It's never a good sight, and I want to put that in to him. We also we are upset with some of the ways that some of the songs are demeaning to Black women. That
mm-hmm.
was we have a lot of people here in Sacramento that are truly upset about the way that some of the boys are talking about the women. But these are their ancestors carried those boys through thick and thin, and they don't
right.
need to be talked like that. And we need to
right.
encourage them to honor their female relatives. And I think
right.
that's truly important.
And
yes,
their mothers, grandmothers need to be role models and listen to the lyrics of those songs. What do they say about your girl? And you
right.
tap your to it too.
So true. Well, would you please tell us where we can purchase the book? Because I want to always be able to put that out there. And what I'm going to do, every month in my magazine, I'm going to feature as just my special gift to you, both of you wonderful ladies. I'm just going to do a feature of your book every month because I want to keep it in front of the public's eye at all times. So that will be given to y'all every month in my issue of Be Who You Are magazine. So just tell us where we can get the book at.
Well, we have a website that takes orders. It is 916-691-9180.
That's the phone number, uh-huh.
That's the phone number.
Okay.
And info at legaciesforyoungwomen.com. And the
okay.
book sells, the hardcover sells for $45, and the softcover sells for $40. And it's doing very well, actually. It's only been out for about 6 months. And I think people are very happy. We're surprised that a lot of people didn't have any idea, grown people, even college people, who didn't know this information.
Right.
Uh-huh. And it's a book that you can look at once you go online. And it'll, you know, give you the highlights of the book before you ever decide to buy it. And I think once you go to the website, you will be very, very impressed.
Okay. All right. Well, we're all out of time now, but I just thank you both for joining me in this video for another episode of Real Women, Real Talk. Thank you so much. You heard it here, and you can look in, follow me with my magazine, Be Who You Are. It should be out this month, where we will be featuring the book as well, and we're going to feature it every month after this month of March. So we're going to keep it before the public eye because I would love to be able to support this book, and I know that you all want to support it too. So get your copy today and be blessed. Until we meet again, I'll be back next Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, God bless you. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you, Barbara. We appreciate your help.
Thank you very much. So if you want to come back on the studio, just let your publicist know. We can do another arrangement as well and get you on the studio, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.